This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our report with the Pope on Sunday and other stories that will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis presided over Holy Mass in St. Peter's Square on Sunday on the occasion of the Jubilee of the Armed Forces, Police and Security Personnel. According to the organizers, the liturgy was attended by 10,000 representatives of Armed Forces, Police and Security Personnel and their families from 100 countries around the world. In his homily, the Holy Father reflected on Sunday's Gospel from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, in which Jesus performs the miracle of catching the fish at the Lake of Genezareth and the calling of his first three disciples, including Peter.
L'atteggiamento di Gesù viene descritto dall'Evangelista con tre verbi.
The Pope said the evangelist Luke describes Jesus at the event with the three verbs. He saw, he went aboard, and he sat down. Jesus, the Pope said, is not concerned with showing off to the crowds, but his priority is to encounter others, to relate to them, and to sympathize with the struggles and setbacks that often burden hearts and take away hope. Amid the great crowd, Jesus saw two boats approaching the shore, and in them there were fishermen with disappointed faces because they had spent the whole night attempting to catch fish, but without success. Pope Francis said Jesus looked with compassion at the expression of those men and understood their discouragement and frustration after having worked all night and caught nothing. Their hearts, he added, were as empty as the nets they hold.
Egli ha uno sguardo attento, lo rende capace di avvistare due barche.
Seeing their discouragement, the Pope went on, Jesus went aboard. He asked Simon to put out a little away from the shore, and he climbed aboard the boat. In this way, he entered into Simon's life and shared in his sense of disappointment and futility. The Pope said Jesus does not simply stand by and watch as things go wrong, as we human beings often do, and then complain bitterly. Rather, he takes the initiative, and in this case, he approached Simon Peter, spent time with him at that difficult moment, and chose to board the boat of his life, which that night had ended up in failure. When the Lord gets into our lives to bring us the good news of God's love that constantly accompanies us and sustains us, the Pope explained, life begins anew, hope is reborn, and enthusiasm revives.
Cari fratelli e sorelle,
addressing himself to the armed forces, police and security personnel, the Pope thanked them for their service, reminding them that they have been entrusted with a mission that embraces numerous aspects of social and political life, that is, defending nations, maintaining security, and upholding legality and justice. You are present in our penitentiaries and at the forefront of the fight against crime and the various forms of violence that threaten to disrupt the lifestyle of society, the Pope told them. I think two of all those engaged in relief work in the wake of natural disasters, the safeguarding of the environment, rescue efforts at sea, the protection of the vulnerable, and the promotion of peace. He told them that the Lord asks them to do as he does, that is, to see, to go aboard, and to sit down. To see because they are called to keep their eyes ever open, alert to threats to the common good, to dangers menacing the lives of their fellow citizens, and to environmental, social, and political risks to which we are all exposed. The Holy Father reminded also the armed forces, police, and security personnel that their presence in our cities and neighborhoods to uphold law and order, and their taking the part of the defenseless, serve as a lesson for all of us and teach us that goodness can prevail over everything, and that justice, fairness, and civic responsibility remain as necessary nowadays as ever. He encouraged them never to lose sight of the purpose of their service, which is to promote life, to save lives, and to be constant defenders of life.
Questo servizio armato va esercitato solo per legittima difesa.
Be vigilant against the temptation to cultivate a warlike spirit, the Pope told the armed forces, police, and security personnel. He appealed to them to guard against propaganda that instills hatred and divides people. He asked them to be courageous witnesses of the love of God, who wants us all to be brothers and sisters. After Holy Mass, Pope Francis led the faithful in the traditional Nuno Angelus prayer and asked them to pray for peace in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ukraine, Sudan, Myanmar, and the Middle East. Heads of state and government representatives from the East African Community and the Southern African Development Community, SADC, who held a summit in Tanzania on Saturday to discuss the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo, issued a statement at the conclusion of their meeting calling for an immediate and unconditional cessation of hostilities between rebels and Congolese government troops. They also urged all the parties in the conflict, including M23 rebels, to hold peace talks within 5 days, underlining that political and diplomatic engagement is the most sustainable solution to the conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They also called for the withdrawal of uninvited foreign armed forces from Congolese territory and the reopening of Goma Airport, which is currently under the control of M23 rebels, citing the need to fly in humanitarian aid to hundreds of thousands of people who have been displaced by the fighting. Meanwhile, the Association of Member Episcopal Conferences of Eastern Africa, AMESEA, issued a message at the weekend expressing concern over the displacement caused by the fighting and the killing of people by the fighting groups in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They called upon the fighting factions to cease hostilities and to respect the rights and dignity of the people. In a related development, the Justice, Peace and Development Commission of the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar issued a statement on Saturday expressing its profound concern for the ongoing conflict in the eastern region of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The commission said it was deeply troubled by the numerous losses of life, as well as the looting and destruction of property that have caused widespread suffering and significantly disrupted the lives of countless individuals and families in the region. The commission invited Christians and the people of goodwill not to remain indifferent to this tragic situation experienced by thousands of people, noting that the affected people need food, water, shelter, and medicine. The commission also called for an immediate ceasefire, reinforcement of the existing peace deals related to the conflict, and an immediate embargo on the arms deals that are fueling the conflict. The Catholic bishops of Zambia have launched the Jubilee Year 2025 debt cancellation campaign with a call for urgent debt relief, economic justice, and transparency in Zambia's debt management. The campaign is in line with Pope Francis's call for economic justice and debt forgiveness worldwide as part of the Holy Year 2025. The president of the Zambia Catholic Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Ignatius Chama of Kasama Archdiocese, said last week that Zambia's huge debt burden is hindering essential services such as education, healthcare, and infrastructure, and making it difficult for citizens to improve their living conditions. He emphasized that debt cancellation is a moral and ethical necessity, and pointed out that cancelling his country's debt would provide economic relief, reduce poverty, and promote sustainable development. Archbishop Chama expressed concern that despite benefiting from debt relief 20 years ago, Zambia is again in a debt crisis, and called for stronger transparency measures and to ensure that any future relief leads to long-term economic stability. He called upon the Zambian government to strengthen parliamentary oversight, ensure open reporting on loan acquisitions, to establish independent audit mechanisms, to integrate technology to allow citizens to track debt levels and expenditures in real time, and for greater citizen participation in debt management. Archbishop Chama invited Zambian government officials, civil society organizations, religious leaders, and citizens to unite in advocating for debt cancellation and reforms. Catholic bishops in Nigeria have called upon the state and federal governments to safeguard human lives in schools by enforcing safety measures to prevent the occurrence of devastating incidents, especially fires. The call comes after 17 students died and 17 others suffered major injuries when a fire broke out at an Islamic school in the Zamfara state. According to sources, the school did not have fire extinguishers. In a statement issued on Friday, February 6th, the bishops said the death could have been avoided if the government had invested in safety measures. They extended their heartfelt condolences to the families of the victims, stating that at all times, in all places, and by all means, the sacredness of human life must be defended and protected. A one-week conference on the Pastoral Assembly of the Catholic Diocese of Quito Bia in Angola ended a few days ago at the diocesan headquarters in Quito. It was attended by 150 delegates from different parishes of the diocese. The delegates discussed programs for the formation of pastoral agents, economic self-reliances of the parishes and the diocese at large, and rekindling the spirit of evangelization among the faithful. In his closing remarks, the Bishop of Quito Bia, the Right Reverend Vincent Sanombo, called upon the pastoral agents to remain faithful to their mission as missionary disciples and not allow the pursuit of material wealth to overshadow their Christian identity. All the faithful, he said, are called to live the gospel values. He pointed out that one of the challenges the diocese is facing is resource management, and he proposed the creation of a special commission to provide training in pastoral, financial, and economic administration for parish priests, vicars, and treasurers of the diocese. The delegates recommended the creation of a diocesan economic council, which, together with the project commission, would review past resolutions and propose viable projects to ensure financial sustainability. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. Saturday, 8th February, was the Feast of St. Josephine Bakita. Catholics the world over are encouraged to pray for those affected by the crimes of modern-day slavery and human trafficking. We pray also for those working to eradicate the crime. Our Rome-based colleague, Sister Francisca Equia Framia of the Missionary Sisters of Our Lady of Apostles, spoke to Ghanaian Sister Regina Ignatia Fla on her work with human trafficking.
Today, we are delighted to have Sister Regina Ignatia Apla. Thank you, Sister, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sister, for having me. My name is Sister Regina Ignatia Elom Apply HDR. HDR because I belong to the congregation of the Hermits of the Divine Redeemer of Accra, a congregation that was founded by the late Bishop Joseph Oliver Bowers from the West Indies when he was the then Bishop of the Diocese of Accra. I am from one of the regions in Ghana, the Volta region, where I grew up. But I joined the HDR congregation in Accra because of their charism. The charism of the congregation is to take care of women, children, and vulnerable in society. And that speaks a lot to me because growing up, I realized that I developed a kind of love for helping people, especially women. So based on that, I decided to join this congregation so that I can fulfill what I started as a child. At the moment, I am a lawyer by profession, and then I also have the background in administration. But what I currently do for my congregation is for us to continue to champion the cause of vulnerables in our society. Based on that, we have an organization or a foundation, the Hermits of the Divine Redeemer Sisters Foundation, where we carry out humanitarian services, trying to reach out to many people. So I am in charge of that. And I'm also the Vice Superior General for my congregation, in charge of our sisters' education, in charge of all projects of the congregation. So currently, this is what I do. But before that, I was working with Caritas Ghana, where I was the project coordinator for an anti-trafficking project where we rescue children from the Volta Lake. We look for shelter home for them and then protect, guide them, give them some psychological counseling so that at least we help them from the trauma of being on the lake. And at the moment, the support I give to Caritas is I am a member of the Legal Affairs Commission of Caritas Internationalis.
Do you do this with other congregations, so it is an apostolate for only HDR sisters in Ghana?
Yes, I do it with other congregations, but it is an apostolate for the HDR.
What are some of the key areas of your work that you would wish that your listeners get to know about, especially in the commemoration of Anti-Trafficking Day, the Feast of St. Paquita?
Sensitization program in cocoa-growing communities where we try to bring the attention of the members of the cocoa-growing communities about child labor. Because we realize that it is, though child labor is not trafficking, so to speak, because it is their own families, their parents, and their relatives that engage these poor children in some hazardous work or exploitative labor. So we go around because we feel that if no one is there to raise the awareness, people continue to use children without the children going to school. And you know, when we talk about that, we are looking at the effects that those children working in the farm have on them. Because if they are in the farm, they won't go to school. So we have one program in that area that we go around advocating for children in the cocoa growing community so that they'll be allowed to go to school. We are also working with the immigration in some of the borders in Ghana to tackle the issues of trafficking and migration, because we realize most of them happen in our borders. So We do that also with them. And we go to community service sensitization program about the effects, the negative effects of trafficking and irregular migration. We do that. We also have a department that train women in how to sew vestments so that when they are able to get something for themselves, then they will not go out or they will not give their children to be trafficked by other people. Then, because we realize that parents do that because they claim they do not have money and poverty, so we also try to provide small support, something like petty trading to some vulnerable women.
So, sister, how do you fund this program?
It's an interesting question. The COCO project that I mentioned to you about is being funded by two organizations, one from Austria, DKA. I've been doing this with DKA for some time, trying to reach out to the vulnerable in society. So they sponsor the project. They fund it. Then now my congregation has also engage or in partnership with International Justice System, IJM, an organization from US. So these are the two.
Your project is a project of hope. And we are in the Jubilee Year of Hope. Do you feel there is still hope, or the world has lost the battle of hope to human traffickers?
No, I think there is still hope. There is still hope. As we speak of the Jubilee Year, which Pope Francis is calling on all of us who are pilgrims on this earth to come together, it is one thing that we can say has he's trying to resonate this in the ears of all of us. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, there are different organizations, even in the Catholic Church, that are trying to promote or prevent or embark on advocacy campaign against trafficking so that those who are trafficked, those who are trafficked can be rescued, the traffickers can be brought to book. So there is hope. The church, the whole universal church, is embarking on this journey. So yes, there is hope. I don't think we have lost it all. That is also one reason why religious congregation, like my congregation, as I mentioned, have taken it upon themselves to embark on a campaign, to embark on advocacy and sensitization program. You know, this is the only way that we can bring hope to people. When we reach out to the vulnerable, when we go to their remotest communities and to talk to them. Because as we speak about trafficking, many people do not even know. Because in some of the communities, they think that it is part of the work that they do. I don't have money. I am poor. So let me give my children out to go and work in another person's farm or to be a slave to another person so that I can get something to live on. But as we go to them, as we speak to them, you realize that they get to understand the negative effects and they change. Most of them change from the actions or from this decision. So there is hope, and that is the reason why we are all talking, condemning trafficking.
You just mentioned advocacy. Could you please speak briefly to us about advocacy, law enforcement, and rehabilitation of trafficked persons, especially in Ghana?
Advocacy includes where we are able to speak against certain issues that are affecting the community, try to, let's say, be the voice of the voiceless to the government, present papers or statements to the government, trying to kind of negotiate on instruments that protect humanity, or trying to influence public policy. That is one thing that we do when it comes to advocacy. We embark on different campaign strategies. We employ different methodologies, and then see how we can also influence the public policy. When we also talk about the issues of rehabilitation, as I said before, when these children are rescued, that program was not human trafficking, but it was child trafficking, where we realized that the children are trafficked to work on the lake. The children are trafficked to work on the lake. So when we rescued them, we sent them to shelter homes. We sent them to shelter homes where we take care of them, because we support the shelter home.
Sister Francisca Equia from Mia with Sister Regina Ignatia Flower on Family.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program, at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.